Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garment, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Revelation 16:15. The evil servant says in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming. He does not say that Christ will not come. He does not scoff at the idea of his second coming. But in his heart, and by his actions and his words, he declares that the Lord's coming is delayed. He banishes from the mind of others the conviction that the Lord is coming quickly. His influence leads men to presumptuous, careless delay. He mingles with the world. It is a fearless assimilation with the world he is taken in this snare. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Revelation 3:3. The advent of Christ will surprise the false teachers. They are saying peace and safety. Like the priests and teachers before the fall of Jerusalem, they look for the church to enjoy earthly prosperity and glory. The signs of the times they interpret as foreshadowing this. But what saith the word of inspiration? Sudden destruction cometh upon them, upon all who dwell on the earth, upon all who make the world their home. The day of God will come as a snare. The world full of rioting, full of godless pleasure, is asleep in carnal security. Men are putting afar off the coming of the Lord. They laugh at warning. The proud boast is made. All things continue as they were from the beginning. Tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. We will go deeper into the pleasure loving, but Christ says, Behold, I come as a thief. At the very time when the world is asking in scorn, where is the promise of his coming? The signs are fulfilling. While they cry peace and safety, sudden destruction is coming. When the scorner, the rejecter of the truth, has become presumptuous, when the routine of work in the various money-making lines is carried on without regard to principle, when the student is eagerly seeking knowledge of everything but his Bible, Christ come as a thief.
Let us pray. Our kind and dear Father, once again, be most grateful and thankful, Father, once again, we are alive today, and the bread of life is still breathing through in our nostrils. Once again, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for the gift of salvation that is given to every man on planet Earth. We also thank you for your Holy Spirit that continues to convict the man and the world of sin. And as these times continue to dwindle on, Father, and the signs before us, let us know that your coming is near. Now and ever before, we need to search our lives to make sure that we are in the faith. That when you should come, Father, once again, we will not be found wanting. We will be able to meet you with joy and gladness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good afternoon and welcome to Turning Point, a program presented by Turning Point Ministry. We want to welcome our listening audience this afternoon, and we'd like to say a special welcome to those of you who might be listening to Turning Point for the first time. Once again, our topic for this afternoon will be crime. How do we solve the crime problem? How do we solve this crime problem that exists in the Bahamas today? So listen on. And we'll also be giving you some tips on how we believe that this crime problem can be solved. If you have any comments or questions concerning the program this afternoon, give us a call at 322-6273, or you can write us at P.O. Box N8993, or you can email us at tpministries@hotmail.com, or you can visit our website at www.tpministries.org. Now, on our website, you will find the emails of Brother Paul, myself, Brother Miller, Julian Miller, also Brother Renwick, who's not with us again this afternoon, and Sister Marlene, who some time ago did some health lectures for us on our Turning Point program. You will also find articles written by Brother Paul, and just a reminder, Brother Paul writes a regular column in the Guardian in Thursday section, in the religious section, so please read up, because normally it has to do with whatever topic that we're discussing that week or what our live call-in program will be and what it will be about. Brother Paul will give us some more information on a live call program when he comes on. Now, as we have done in the past, Brother Paul will give us a insight or a brief synopsis of those things that happen in newspaper, probably concerning crime, that might be of some spiritual significance or at least some help in us understanding where we find ourselves today. Brother Paul.
Yes, thank you, Brother Jody. Once again, good afternoon, Bahamas. Our next live call-in show will be the third Monday night in July. I don't know exactly what date that is, but it's going to be the third Monday night in July. It's going to be the Monday night right after our independence celebration. We were thinking about having it on the night just before the independence, because independence will be falling on a Tuesday. But we see a lot of us will be, not a lot of us, because, you know, I don't really get into the independence like that. You know, I'm appreciative that the Lord has blessed our lives, that we've been able to live to see another independence, which will not be too far away. It's just another couple of days away, and before we know it, we'll be able to celebrate another Independence Day. So it's going to be the night, the Monday right after the independence. That's the third. That's the 16th of July. Thank you, Brother Julian. He just gave me a card. Look, my eyes are so terrible. The print is so far, I cannot see it. But getting to our topic for the day, coming from the newspaper, you know, last week I shared some of you from the Guardian, at least from the Bahama Journal, sorry, under the topic, Neglect Tops Child Abuse Case for 2007. Which was presented by our new Minister of Social Services, Mrs. Turner, Loretta Butler Turner. And you know, on Monday, if you have Monday's Guardian, this is a Freeport section of the Guardian, under the topic, Dance Company to Celebrate Anniversary in Grand Style. And ladies and gentlemen, if it was ever a time child abuse is on the rise, based on the picture, they have eight young girls, darling young girls, no more than between the age of 3 to 5, and they have them in these tube tops and these skimpy skirts. I'm telling our government that this year need to put it, and this is going to be an event of something they're going to have in Freeport. Yeah, I also, in this article I read, they're going to be serving wine and all these sorts of stuff. I mean, this is not what our young girls are about. They say this is going to be more or less like what goes on in Las Vegas. I didn't know the dance cabaret over there in Las Vegas, the nation known as Sin City. I mean, these parents need to be held accountable. It's things like this that cause these darling young girls to find themselves in problems at an early age. Someone is taking advantage of these young ladies here, and I'm asking the government, that's last week, Monday's Guardian, in the Freeport section, that I'm going to, you know, if you have access to that paper, I want you, I mean, if you think that picture is okay, that's Monday, June the 11th, 2007, of the National Guardian, the Freeport edition of the National Guardian, page 8. I mean, if that picture seems to be okay to you all, I stand to be corrected. But you know what? I know for sure it would have been my little girl or my little niece or my little nephew taking part in such an event. And then on a side note, you know, as I was watching the debate again on Channel 40, you know, my heart was broken, you know, because in the community where I live right now, I have two young men that got killed this week in my community. One of them was shot, and thank God he's still alive. My heart goes out to both families. And on a side note, the young man who they are looking for happens to be my first cousin. You know, a lot of you are listening today. If you have not already surrendered to the authorities, you know, I'll ask you today to surrender and let the law take its course. You know, my heart is broken here because as I watched Channel 40, and I saw our parliamentarians slamming the table and putting up their teeth and all kind of stuff, young men were dying in the streets. And I'd be like, can these politicians, can these ministers of the gospel, who some of them who are in parliament, can they realize that we are in the end? I mean, the young men in my community is crying out for help. As a matter of fact, I'm going to say this. You know, on Thursday night of last week, I had a person stop at my store in desperation. They were in tears. And they shared some information with me. And I called a certain number. And I asked the person who asked, I said, I don't want to discuss what I want to discuss with you. I said, I'm going to leave my telephone and my name with you. So I got two people from this particular area to call me. And the person tried to push me to try to tell. I said, I don't care to share with you what I want to talk to them for. I said, earliest convenience, I'd like them to give me a call. And you know what the person on the other end did? They slammed the phone down in my ear without even taking my name or my telephone number. And it's things like this that have our country going haywire. And then you want to know why it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse, ladies and gentlemen. We've been saying this now going on 5 years. July of next year, August, July of this month is going to make us 5 years since we've been here. But you know, me and Brother Julian and Brother Renrick and Sister Marley, we don't have the doctorate degree, we don't have the master of divinity. So as far as people are concerned, you know, we're crazy people. But like we've been telling you for the past 5 years, if you're saying something wrong, give us a call. I've had people comment and around me and slam the phone out of my ears based on the truth we have shared. But you know, I'm not surprised because it happened to another young man by the name of Paul. You know, the Apostle Paul? He said, you get angry with me because I tell you the truth? And that's what's happening. We screw up. You see, you're not getting angry with me because I'm just a messenger. And we stand to be rebuked. We stand to be open to be chastised. You know, this is what it's all about. And I'm suggesting today, last week I also shared with you the government thinking about coming up with an electronic monitoring system to put on those criminals. Well, then, I'd like to be the first to get one and put on my hand and my foot.
I'll be the first to let's put everyone electronically monitored. That you can know where everyone is when something goes wrong. And I'll be the first to surrender. Paul Miller, I like to have one of those on my hand, on my foot. So whenever something goes down, the government knows exactly where I'm at. And a matter of fact, a lot of young ladies, I didn't go jump for them. Once you put some diamonds, some gold on it, because most of them have under their legs now and around their neck or whatever. I mean, once you fix it up fancy, Mr. Government, I'm sure they'll jump for it. And don't throw some diamonds in it. I mean, they all for that. And let's see if that will solve the crime problem. Let's see if everyone is electronically monitored, that you know where everyone is at every given time, if that's going to curb the problem. And like I said, I will be the first to put mines on, although I don't believe in wearing jewelry and all those sorts of stuff. But just to show them that this electronic monitor will not change anything. The attitude of the person who slammed the phone out of my head is the problem we're dealing with. You've got people in positions who's supposed to try to help people. And what they do, when you call to try to get assistance, they slam the phone down in your ear. And too bad for you, brother. You know, who are you? Why can't you talk to us? And that's what we're dealing with here. A sin problem, a crime problem. And because men have rejected the word of the Lord, because men are set to do whatever they want to do, ladies and gentlemen, on the authority of God's word, on Matthew 24, Daniel 12:1, Revelation chapter 13, and the list goes on, it's not going to get better, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And in the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because iniquity would abound, the love of many would wax cold.
Thank you very much, Brother Paul. You talk about this crime problem, and as we notice that the crime is, at least it seems to me, that murders are on the increase. I think we had three people murdered this week. Last week. That seems to be quite a bit.
We even had a young lady who lost her life in Freeport. Talking about, you know, so I think it's three, four as a matter of fact. We just had a young man got killed from a club in Foxhill. The incident swing off from a club. And here again, this is something that's, how many murders that took place in the Bahamas this year that happened in the club? Have you been pleading you to close the rum shops down? Close these places are not geared to build up social, I mean, friendly social. These venues are always bring disaster. Some man don't reach home to his wife, or some wife don't reach home to her husband because they went to these places and they got drunk. Or God forbid, some of them even came down with AIDS because they were not in the right frame of mind. I mean, my heart goes into all the family members, especially my auntie. I mean, she's broken hearted. My parents paid her a visit, tried to counsel her. You know what I mean? But, you know, like I said, my cousin, if he's listening today, turn yourself in. You know what I mean? We don't know what went wrong, but, you know, the authorities, based on what we saw on the television on Thursday, their pictures there, and they want to talk to you. And also a story that ran in The Guardian yesterday. Your name is there, you know, Eduardo. And if you're listening today, you and your friends, wherever you are, turn yourself in before matters get worse.
Brother Paul, we talk about the Bible and what the Bible has to say on many topics. Does the Bible tell us how things are going to be or how things will be? Are going to be in the last days?
Yes, it do, Brother John. Here again, you know, this here again break my heart. When I hear ministers of the gospel, all that smooth talk, I wish I could call their name. Some of y'all get upset when I call their name. But it just breaks my heart when these ministers of the gospel with all these letters behind their name, selling these candy books, I call them. I mean, they want you to buy their book before they buy the books of all books called the Bible. They're so sophisticated now, they don't want to read the Bible. They want to fly around their own private jets. Talking about fallen Bill Gates and all sorts of nonsense. I never heard Bill Gates profess to be a Christian. I mean, my heart goes out to Mr. Gates. I mean, the Lord has blessed him with the ability to put some stuff together for the computer. But even if he's listening today, you know, after all of this has passed, Mr. Gates, and there's whoever, you know, what next? So what is this, the Bible says in the last days? It's 2 Timothy chapter 3. We like to quote it a lot, but how many times do we have to sit down and reflect on it? Verse 1. This notice also, the Apostle Paul said, in the last days, and we're in the last days, perilous times are here. For men should be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Anyone know about that? Why do you think most of these kids are getting problems? I mean, my aunt and her husband went over on the Call of Duty trying to reach out to their son. You know, I'm not saying that he's guilty, but hey, I hear parents, people talking about, oh, it's because there's no parents. Oh, yes, he grew up in the house with his father and his mother. He had counselors all along the way. But here today, you know, the police wants to question him. I'm thankful, unholy. We're in those times without natural affection. Men want to go with men and women want to go with women. Truth breakers running the red light, selling rum to people and think it's okay. Truth breakers, false accusers, saying things about people that's not true. I heard people say the PLD government didn't do nothing in 5 years. That's a lie. Even our Prime Minister, Mr. Hubert Ingham, said, hey, yes, the PLD did do some things, but here's some of his supporters are on the record saying, no, they didn't do anything. Well, that's a lie. You're a false accuser. And in the end, you will be held accountable. Unable to stop doing wrong. Fierce. Despise of those that are good. Traitors. Heady. high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. I mean, if there's ever a time, we have more lovers of pleasure in Bahamas, the time surely that we have counterfeit, we have crowdfeit, we even have ministers of the gospel who had certain organizations who are the presidents of these youths. And what be going on in this situation when rum is being distributed, sexual immorality is being distributed, and these ministers want you to come down and put your stamp of approval upon this nonsense. And what is happening? It's getting worse and worse and worse. And before they preach the gospel in season out of season, they're trying to build up these sporting activities, but only brings disaster. Having a form of godliness, most of them, but denying the power thereof. Where's the power that is mentioned in Romans chapter 1 verse 16 that you and I are not ashamed of? That we are the power of God, that God's power working in us and through us. From such things the Bible says the apostle says that we should turn away from. But no, we're not turning away, we're running through these things. Right now there are people under the sound of every night gearing right now to go to the crowd fest in Andres. When the Bible says eating crab is an abomination. Just read it in Deuteronomy chapter 14 and Leviticus chapter 11. But these same Christians will tell you it's also a sissy, I mean it's also an abomination for me and Brother Julian to be having a sexual affair. Well, the same Bible would condemn if me and Brother Julian decide to go in that lifestyle. Also says eating crab is an abomination. And the diverse lusts. Ever learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. And there are many ministers under the sound of our voice today. These ones who call themselves reverend. When Psalms 111 verse 9 says, reverend, holy is God's name. Not the local ministers who could drop down dead at any moment. Call no man father, for one is your father which is in heaven. That's the book of Matthew. But we don't want these things. And what does the people do? Yes, that's my minister. He is preaching a smooth thing. He is not touching our sin, our darling sin. And sooner or later, God's going to come and say, oh no, he's not going to change anything. Whatever mindset the Lord Jesus Christ meet us in when he returned, that's the same mindset we're gonna rise with. For instance, if you get to heaven and crab is there, what do you think you want to put on your plate? You want crab and dough. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know, if you eat crab now and you don't want to get the victory of eating that crab now, you're not going to go to heaven. When you do that, you're fulfilling another quote by the Apostle Paul, our bellies have become our gods. And what is the result? We have chaos. But these same ministers, I hear them on the radio and on the talk shows, these are the ones who are invited to talk the popular, and guess what? They don't even carry their Bibles. They quote all these different philosophers and all these different theories without their Bible. And what does the host does? Yeah, Mr. So-and-so, you sound good. Thank you for that point. And when you try to line up with the Word of God, there's nothing there. Think on these things. The time is indeed running out. And there's no doubt in my mind that the Lord has called Turning Point Ministries for such a time as this. And as long as the Lord affords us this opportunity, as long as he continues to bless us with the funds in order to preach the gospel, we're going to be preaching it loud and clear. And that doesn't mean me and Brother Julian is going to go to heaven, because our lives too have to be transformed by this gospel. If not, we'll be in hell too, with you. There's no sin going to enter there. So let it be known, if we too are not transformed by what we preach you Sunday after Sunday, we too will find ourselves outside the kingdom of God, because God is quite clear, no sin will enter heaven when he returns.
But Paul, we see that there has been a great increase in churches and church-related activities and all these things. So I kind of want to bounce off one of the topics that you talked about, one of the phrases that you want to talk about, and you said, a form of godliness. What does it mean to have a form of godliness?
Brother Julian, I was watching a program last week, Sunday night. That's a good question you asked me. And my heart, I wish I could call this church name. And you know, the next day, the member from the church came. I said, Miss, you need to run from this church. They was carrying with so much nonsense on this program aired on TV 13 and also on cable 12 that Sunday. And they was running with some stuff in there. And I said, Jesus, these people are being deceived. They were running up and down the church, throwing water on the people and all sorts of stuff, and these people think they had the Holy Ghost. But ladies and gentlemen, the Holy Ghost don't make you run up and down and foam at the mouth. The Holy Ghost is, for one thing, Acts 5:32, the Holy Ghost is given to those who obey God. The Holy Ghost is to convict you of sin and of righteousness. We have ministers on the radio preaching the gospel in an unknown tongue, and we'll preach the gospel in a known tongue. When 1 Corinthians 13 and 1 Corinthians 14 say, if there's no interpreter, you must sit down and shut up. But who cares? You know, Paul Miller and Julian, who they is? Oh, yeah, we are servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord has called, and I'm upset, ladies and gentlemen, because my people are heading down a path to destruction. Just like it was in the days of Noah. Noah preached for 120 years. You can imagine that. He had a crusade for 120 years. And when his revival was over, 8 people got on the ark. And ain't nothing changed, ladies and gentlemen. And that's exactly how it is today. We have told you, if you're preaching heresy, go to Mr. Anthony Foster. Order the program up there immediately. But better yet, I understand they have a new board now. I can't remember the gentleman who's the name of the new board. If you're preaching heresy, go to him. and turn the order out and make sure go with the facts. We use the Bible, we use church history, and we use world history. All of the I prefer to be off air, ladies and gentlemen, to be here telling you lies day after day. And all the things my parents sat down in my house and tell me, say, Paul, this is how it's going to be in the end. I mean, right before my eyes, just like white and black. He said, Paul, this is how it's going to be. See, Molly and Kefi and Ken Cyrus, this is how it's going to be. And just like how our parents show us and sit us down in our house and show us the prophecies, that's exactly how it's being played out. And these ministers are taking God's children for a ride. And you know, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd go to the court with Mr. Vian Monroe. That's also one of my family members. He's one of the best lawyers I understand we have in Nassau. And I like for him to go before Mrs. Joan Sawyer. She liked the facts. And I'm sure, based on the talk, I could close down every Sunday church in Nassau. There's no doubt in my mind. And I'm telling you, dear ladies, time is running out. And I'm tired of them coming on. And another thing I hear people come on the TV, they be running on. But what you can know, see, the young men on the streets, ladies and gentlemen, I live in the ghetto. The young men on the street, you can't reach them on the radio talking what you can do for you. They ain't hearing that. As a matter of fact, they don't even watch the news. They all they say, every time you turn on the news, you hear a young man got killed, a young lady got stabbed. The young men of this nation are crying out. As a matter of fact, one of our churches had an event at their church a few weeks ago, and the pastor wrote an article in the Guardian. Here again, and I think it was two Saturdays back in the Guardian. I'm not going to call the church name, but the pastor, they had an incident where they had an all-night service at their church. And at that incident, a security got hurt. And one of the young men who went to the event got hurt. So if the violence is in the church, what do you think about on the streets? And they say, don't talk about it because right now the matters. And as a matter of fact, I attended one of those functions, Brother Julian, and I'm not surprised. As a matter of fact, I have the event on DVD to show you, and as a bunch of filth, young men were on the stage gyrating themselves on the stage in the church, in the church, not to the club, in the church. The music was so loud when we went there, ladies and gentlemen. When we pull in the parking lot, you could hear the music bouncing on it. The lady who served us at the door, all of our breasts was exposed. The only part of our breasts was exposed was the nipples. And this is in the church. But these are the same people who you have on the talk shows. These are the ones who are leading God's people astray. Ladies and gentlemen, I ask you today, you and your family, build a family altar. Pick up your Bibles and study, study, study. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman. A young lady, a young man need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This time is definitely running out.
Brother Paul, there is talk of speedy hangings and speedy trials and rushing things along. Does the Bible give us a guideline in terms of speedy trials and speedy hangings? And what is the consequence if we don't do these things?
Well, Brother Julian, you know, the Bible is quite clear. Vengeance is God's and he will repay. But there's a scripture where a lot of ministers like when I heard on the news this week past, come from Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse 11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of sons of men are set to do evil. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be long, yet surely I know that it shall not be well with them that fear God, and which fear not before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he be long his days when are the shadows, because he feared not before God. So what they are saying is because evil work against evil work is not done, that they're done dealt with speedily, the heart of man is said to do evil. Well, ladies and gentlemen, do you know of any young men in the Bahamas that commit a crime 100 times and are not caught? I don't know of any such case. This scripture is talking to the church of the living God. I'll give you a challenge. Why don't you let's call a prayer meeting down on not Rawson Square, because Rawson Square would be too small. Why don't you let's call a prayer meeting on by the sports center? And let's pray and ask all those who are not on your side, Lord, let the ground just open up in times of old and swallow them all up. How many Christians at the sound of our voice are for that? How many of us would like to call a prayer meeting at the earliest convenience that all those who are not on the Lord's side, just Lord, let's slay all of them right there in their presence. Maybe that maybe will wake some of us up. And you know, the Lord would not do it. He maybe might just do it. So let's call for that prayer meeting. And I'll be the first one there. And if the Lord swallows me up, then so be it. Let's call for a prayer meeting at a large arena, and all those who think they're on the Lord's side, come on down. I'm reminded of the story of Elijah. Elijah's on Mount Carmel, and there were 851 prophets, if I'm not mistaken, on Mount Carmel. 851? It was 451 for Baal, and I think 400 for another false prophet. And when the time came, Elijah's the only person on God's side on Mount Carmel. And they crying out to their God. They beat up themselves, cut up themselves. Elijah said, maybe your God went on a vacation. Let's try my God. And when Elijah did what he had to do, the Lord showed them who was the real God that day. sending applies, ladies and gentlemen, there are many voices in the marketplace, but are all these voices preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ? Isaiah 8:20 is quite clear. Through the law and through the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them.
Brother Paul, it seems as if you pick up the papers or listen to the news, we see that a lot of young people are involved in most of the crimes that are being committed today. What advice would you have to a young person who is involved with crime and who wants to follow the Lord? What advice would you have for them this afternoon?
You know, the wisest man that ever lived on the record that most people refer to is Solomon. And Solomon said this in Ecclesiastes 12 verse 1. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, do I find any pleasure in them? The time has come, young people, to remember now thy creator. He is God the Almighty. You can read about him in Genesis chapter 1. He is the one that formed me from the dust of the ground. And the day he is calling out to you, young and old alike, to remember now thy creator. Remember him. Because when he comes, he is not going to remember you if you don't remember him. And he wants you to do that now. Because when we die, our cases are decided. And all around, people are crying out. And I ask you today to cry out to him while he may be found.
How can they do that? You say remember the creator in the days of their youth. And you also said that even the older people must remember the creator. What steps can they take to follow this Bible principle?
First thing they can do, Brother Jude, first recognize that they have a problem and they cannot solve it on by themselves. And then you must go to Jesus with your heart, yearning to the Lord, I want to follow your ways. I realize the time is going to come and I'm not going to be able to seek you anymore. I want to seek you now. I want to turn myself to you right now. And go to him and take reorganization in your life and find out what are those things in your life that you will participate in that does not glorify the Father. If you don't know from the Bible, he will show you in a still small voice. Are those pictures on television glorifying the Father? Are those friends you hang on with glorifying the Father? Are the boyfriend, girlfriend, relationship you have glorifying the Father? Are the things you're eating and drinking glorifying the Father? How about the things you're wearing? How about the places you go? How about the company you associate with when you're away from work? Do these things glorify the Father? Because 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whatever you eat, whatsoever you do, do all to the honor and glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. And that's the key. Like Jesus went all the way following his Heavenly Father, this is what we need to do, ladies and gentlemen. And I assure you, when he that shall come, and he will come and he will not tarry, we will be found ourselves on the side of the Lord and not on the side of the devil himself.
Brother Paul, let us end on a positive note. Give the people of the Bahamas and whoever else is listening something positive that could come out of this.
Well, Brother Julian, if it was every time the Lord is crying out today, it's definitely now. All the signs that are foretold in the Bible are right before our eyes. And I'm telling you, if today you will fall on your knees and ask him to come into your life, he would come into your life right now. Because remember, he is standing on the door and he's knocking. And the handle is on your side. And once you open it, he surely will come in.
Let us pray. Most kind Father, we thank thee once again, O God, for another opportunity and the privilege to come before you. We come before you asking for forgiveness, O God. We ask you, O Lord, for that power and that strength that we may be willing and understanding enough to open that door and let you come in and let you take control of our life. This is our prayer we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Once again, our telephone contact is 322-6273. Until next week, may the peace of God be with you and your family. This is Formula.
And this is Julian Miller. May God richly bless you.